This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. In a few minutes, a bricks and mortar gathering for political bloggers used to the virtual world. But first, in East Timor, there are no signs of the violence there abating. Rebels are calling for the prime minister to resign. He has refused. Meanwhile, an estimated 100,000 people remain in temporary camps waiting for the unrest to end. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from the capital, Dili.
East Timor's Nobel Prize-winning foreign minister and defense minister, José Ramos Horta, lives a few miles from the city center, in a nice place, tucked in between the ocean and the hills. And if you get there early enough in the morning, say around 7, you'll see a whole bunch of people shuffling out the front gate, heading towards the city. Ramos Horta has lots of house guests these days, about 100 or so neighbors staying temporarily in makeshift shelters in Ramos Horta's yard. Neighbors too terrified to spend the night in their own homes because of the ongoing violence. They come here instead, where Australian peacekeepers providing security for Ramos Horta also protect them. Ramos Horta says the current situation is unnecessary and unfair.
I'm angry, disappointed, heartbroken that we arrive at this situation. The people don't deserve it, but it has been a failure of the leadership in addressing problems as they arise.
For young people like 25-year-old Antonio Flores, the current situation is made more heartbreaking by his high expectations following independence from Indonesia after 24 years of occupation. That was a magical time, he says, and now?
No magic at all. No magic at all. I myself and most of the people think that after independence, situation will change, no more victims, all of people can get the job. But what happened after independence is not the same as all of us think.
Flores went abroad on a scholarship shortly after the independence vote. And when he came back, he still had high hopes for his country's future and his own. The international community was generous with its support, and there was the promise of oil and gas revenue from offshore fields worth billions. But development has been slow. Flores has found a job at Dili's main hospital. It pays $120 a month. Andy says he's lucky to have it.
Most people don't have a job. Even to get $3 every day is very hard.
The frustration created by widespread unemployment and an aid-driven economy has fueled the recent violence in this tiny country of less than a million. So have allegations of rampant corruption in Prime Minister Mari Alkatiri's government, where government employees who earn $300 a month, Flores says, live well beyond their means.
They have big houses, 3 or 4 cars. I don't know where to get the money. And I'm sure that maybe they use the money for the Timorese people. They send letter to foreigner that here people in Timor need this and need that. When the money come, they just keep it. That's a problem.
Members of Prime Minister Alkatiri's family have also been awarded lucrative contracts for building roads and equipping the country's police. Prime Minister Alkatiri denies any wrongdoing and says he'll stay, though some analysts predict he will be forced out before next year's election. 25-year-old Antonio Flores says he hopes the international community will help bring peace long before then, and he hopes new political leaders can be found to help his country move forward. Not leaders like Alkatiri, he says, who spent most of the 24 years of Indonesian occupation abroad.
He created few problems in this country. He never lived here, never feel what we feel, never see what happened in this country. They just came back when we got independence and they became a power man.
It wouldn't take much, he says, to have a decent life here. With $200 a month, a little more than double what I make now, he says, I could live comfortably and support a wife and family. But first, the violence has to end, he says, and new leaders have to be found. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.